You are listening to The Andrew Miller Show. This episode was recorded when the show had a different name. Same show otherwise. Anyway, enjoy. Going forward, you're listening to Get Yours Today. Get better candidates, get better representation, get better results. This episode, we're talking with Chris Richardson, the Green Party candidate running to represent California's 6th congressional district. Used to be 7th, but due to redistricting, it is now the 6th congressional district. Gotta love gerrymandering. This is going to be fun. Chris Richardson has a lot to say. He's had an interesting career where he's done all types of work for different government agencies, and he's been involved in the nonprofit world as well. So sit back and enjoy the episode.
Where is this?
Hello, Chris. Thank you for joining us today. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you. And thank you for inviting me. This is great. Where is that background that you have in your...
My Zoom background here. This is inside the New York Public Library. Yeah, the branch that's in like library. Every other movie. Yeah. That has like the two lion statues out in front of it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's very picturesque.
It is indeed.
Yes.
Yeah, like I used it for when my work used Zoom because I just got tired of having like just the window and the wall of my home in it. So I decided to add a different background to it. And I thought this one looked cool. So I chose that.
Cool. Excellent. Yeah,
definitely. So you're running for U.S. Congress to represent the 7th district in California.
Actually, the 6th district. They changed it.
Gerrymandering?
It's basically the same district, but they've renumbered them.
Oh, okay.
And that's just to confuse the voters. And it's doing a heck of a good job.
Oh, no. Oh, man, that's
bad news. Yeah. It's sad, we still have the same basic players involved. Ami Bera, and he's been our congressman for like 8 years or something like that, or longer. But you know, he has done a great deal for the military industrial complex. And we've got to get out of the war industry business. It's killing us, and it's killing most of the world.
Oh, indeed it is.
Yeah. And frankly, we should be trading with these people and not plotting against them. You know, I mean, we're supposed to be very intelligent, but we've allowed ourselves to get sloppy, and we need to get our education back in stride. And we've treated education as an income source for big business. And we've just... Education is an investment in the future. If you don't keep investing in the future, you will have no future.
Yeah.
And that's so valuable. And you know, we nobody is as smart as all of us. And the smarter we get, the better we get. And we start, you know, actually seeing the consequences for what we are doing and maybe can do it better. What a concept that would be. You know, and we're at the crux now of a very bad set of decisions that have been made, and a lot of it involved our our stance in the world as far as, you know, trying to build an us and them sort of thing, where we set other countries up to be the fall guys for our bad behavior. And, you know, like 9/11, that was 20 years of war against the wrong people.
Yeah, and what came out of it?
What came out of it was the loss of an awful lot of resources and a lot of things that we could have done well, and the creation of 38 million refugees in the world just because we could, you know? And that's a huge population that we could have been trading with instead of bombing and running out of their homes. And, you know, and we're doing the same. We've done that in the Middle East, and now we're doing it in Central and South America. You know, we had the situation where Elon Musk paid for the flipping of the government in Bolivia.
Oh, wow.
You didn't hear about that. Oh, yeah.
I hear about him wanting to go to Mars to away from whatever problems he's creating here.
Unfortunately, the way he's going, it'll be a one-way trip. And what I'm really advocating is that we establish a moon base. And from a moon base, we can keep the Mars colony supplied. In fact, we can preload Mars and turn it into an IKEA before the astronauts actually arrive with a screwdriver.
Wow.
You know, well, getting things off of the moon is trivial. They have no atmosphere.
Yeah.
All you're doing is pushing out of a gravity well. And once you pushed out of that, it's downhill to whatever gravity well you want to. And if that's back to Earth, fine. If it's to Mars, fine. You know? And there's nobody really waiting for it there yet. So we can start landing it in promising locations.
Wow. And yeah, and as far as what Elon Musk has tried doing here or attempted to do, I mean, you're in California, so I know years ago I was hearing all this hype about the Hyperloop and how that could be a good transportation system, like San Francisco to LA in half hour or something. How has that come along?
Well, they tried it in Chicago and it didn't work all that well from what I understand. I really hadn't followed it that much.
Do you think that there is at least better, I don't know if better is the right word, but technology that we already have when it comes to rail travel that could have been done already?
Oh, sure.
During those years, instead of putting all that attention to this Hyperloop thing that I don't think has even really lifted or happened by now.
It sounds like there's an awful lot more infrastructure required in order to make that work. And have you ever been to Japan, to the Shinkansen railroad?
I have not. I mean, I've seen
the bullet train is incredible.
Yeah, like I've seen them on TV. I know on Smithsonian they have a show called Mighty Trains, and it shows all these bullet trains
exactly
in different parts of the world.
Well, and just standing on the platform when express goes through, it about blows you off the platform. I mean, it's going through there lickety split, and in fact, I think they do slow down, but even so, it pretty much blows you right off the platform.
It's a smooth ride, too.
Oh, God, yes. Here. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I had a small contract in Japan. Flew into Tokyo and then took the bullet train down to Daito to a boxing facility down there that boxes materials to be sent to retail stores in the U.S. and Europe and things. So it was interesting. A great system, but it was poorly designed. The vendor had locked themselves in, and we're kind of bleeding them to death. And it really should have. That's another story. But I went there to help straighten things out, and the vendor had a real lock on the situation, so it really didn't end up doing much for them.
Oh, wow.
My background was first in biology. I was studying for marine biology. Right. And I got into bad habits, like eating regularly and having a warm place to stay. And so I went into computers and, combined the two, and it was really pretty good. I did a lot of data analysis for Florida Department of Natural Resources in Florida.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. We were doing a life history on the Atlantic sailfish, and I was focusing on the parasitology of the sailfish and all the different critters that live in communication with the sailfish, and actually we were playing around with the idea of using the parasites as biological tags to be able to track migrations
and
the sailfish. And because we were sampling from Fort Pierce down to Hallandale, down below, down near Miami, and up in West Palm, where I lived. And we sampled an awful lot of different sailfish from the whole coastline of Florida. And there's also a migration off of the coast to the Bimini and back. They spawn out there in the islands, and it's pretty wild. We had one female that had the gonads were like 10% of the body weight of the animal.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's a lot of eggs.
Oh, and, yeah.
Yeah. And they're free spawners. They get up into the shallow water and they spawn. And as they're releasing the eggs, there's males trailing on behind them, fertilizing them. So it's pretty wild.
Oh, wow.
And there's stories of, we're getting into the weeds here, but the...
Yeah. So I was going to ask, all this, work you're telling me about, whether it's, this fish life and wildlife that you've seen have some hands-on dealing with, to, these bullet trains in Japan, has any of this shaped the kind of views you have now or what you'd like to accomplish as a congressman?
Oh, sure. One of the problems we have here is that we have perchlorate and TCE, trichloroethane, in our water table because of Aerojet. Aerojet is a manufacturer of missiles for the military, and they're up here in Folsom, and the aquifer there is like 25 feet deep, and the aquifer underneath us here in Gold River is 1,500 feet deep.
Wow.
And it all flows downhill to us. And so the TCE and the perchlorate, which are chlorinated hydrocarbons, are sitting under us, and they are a health risk.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
And this missile company, is it Aerojet, you said?
Aerojet, yeah.
Aerojet. Are they a campaign donor to the incumbent you're running against?
I wouldn't be surprised one little bit. But he has basically kept this area a Superfund site for 8 years.
Wow.
And I've done a little research and found that using bioremediation, we could be done with it in a month.
Oh, wow. Yeah, what are we waiting for?
Well, because the EPA is providing stumbling blocks in the form of, oh, well, if you do use bioremediation, then we're going to have to drill a well every 20 feet. So, no. There's what they call excursion drilling, where you drill down and then across.
Okay.
And if you lay that a bead of the organism, the anaerobic bacteria that eats TCE and perchlorate, it eats it up. And it's very quick too. In fact, one study in India showed that the rates of perchlorate and the trichloroethane decreased like 70% in the first like 6 hours. You know, and they've actually done this up at McClellan, which is an Air Force base just north of Sacramento.
Okay.
And we also have another plume of it under Mather, which is another military base here in Sacramento.
And this is in your congressional district?
Right, yes.
Wow.
And so by doing this, we could remove ourselves from a Superfund site. Save the government money. What a concept.
Yeah, I mean, come on, because when you talk about doing things good, it's they try to use like, oh, there's no money, has some kind of excuse, like, sure, oh, we can't afford it, you know, despite the 20-year war that cost trillions of dollars and didn't really amount to anything.
Well, we seem to always find enough money to start another war, but we can't seem to, you know. And I had arranged with the League of Women Voters to have a debate of all the different candidates. In 2020.
Yeah.
Well, it should be. It just so happened that Ami Bera couldn't make it because he was busy impeaching Trump back in Washington. How did that work out?
Yeah, it's total waste. Like,
And, you know, he went after him with the most specious and tissue-thin arguments that Trump was going to easily defeat. And then he turned around and gave Trump $131 billion to invade Iran.
Exactly. Like all this talk about, he's a madman, we can't trust him with the nuclear codes and all that. And yet those same people were voting to give him, you know, billions of dollars for bombs.
What they forgot was that Trump builds resorts.
Yeah.
And you can't build a resort in a war zone. You know, and he wants to look presidential. So he launched a bunch of rockets into, what was it, Syria or Afghanistan? It was one of those two. And, you know, they said, oh, he's so presidential. I said, no. Yeah. He's attacking people. You know? And, you know, I'm just amazed at all of the Venezuelan army troops at our southern border, and the Syrian bombers overhead, and the Iranian gunboats off of our ports, which actually adds up to nothing. But we're off of their borders, and we're in their airspace.
Oh, sure.
And we have 800 bases outside of our borders. 800, at least. More like 1,100. Now, you know how many bases China has outside of their borders?
I'm guessing one or none.
One.
Ooh, it's in close. Africa.
It's yeah. in Africa. You know, and they're the ones who are getting ready to take over the world, right? They don't have to. They're buying it. We learned how to borrow money from them back with Nixon. And, you know, they own so much of us right now. And we spend more than the next 10 countries combined in defense. You know, and that includes China, Russia, Britain, France, Italy, you know, all of them. And we spend more than 10%, you know, 10 times, well, not 10 times, but the biggest number two is China. And even that's only about 40% of what we spend.
Oh, yeah. And the actual individual serving in the military, uh-huh. the actual troops, they're the last ones to see that money.
Mm-hmm.
Like
mm-hmm.
large portions of it. I know, like, for a lot of people to join, yeah, it's good benefits, you know, compared to a lot of civilian jobs, especially for, you know, a young person and everything. But when it comes to, like, even like on post housing, like every so mm-hmm. often you'll read, like, in the Army Times or the Military Times about, because they tried to privatize some of it,
mm-hmm.
and you'll hear about, like, cases of, like, mold and everything building up in there, and
oh, yeah.
lawsuits happening.
Well, and people getting electrocuted in the shower.
Yeah, you know. That too. Yeah, that
thank
too.
You, Halliburton. Like, yeah,
Halliburton. Yeah, there's a, I forget the name of it off the top of my head, but there was a documentary about the uh-huh. private contracting over in Iraq with Halliburton.
Well,
that I watched, and oh yeah, and even like actual troops are, you know, speaking all about yeah. what's going on.
Well,
there.
Yeah, you know, thank Dick Cheney for. You know, the PNAC, the Project for the New America Century, you know, I mean, that's what got us into all of this crap, you know, and we've spent so much and gotten so little for it. And, you know, the only people who are really profiting are the less than 1%.
Definitely.
And right now they are in a war with us. To diminish our numbers.
Yeah.
That's what the pandemic's all about.
Oh, yeah, the pandemic. And that's, the pandemic. And that's, I mean, yeah, it's real, but as far as how it's being handled and such, what's your take on it? Like how it's being handled in California?
It's being handled horribly. And most of the people who have died, it's been death by protocol. As long as the, you know, the healthcare workers follow the protocols that are laid down by the CDC and the AMA, you can't sue them. And, you know, one of the drugs of choice is remdesivir. And in its original formulation, it killed half of the people that they tested it against.
Oof.
Yeah, they didn't tell you that.
Yeah, this is news to me.
But this puts you on the gravy train to intubation because it attacks the kidneys and the liver and sets you up for pneumonia.
Oh, wow.
And then they intubate you and then they let you slide down the razor blade of life.
Ooh, wow.
But, you know, this is the thing, is that they're trying to reduce the people with comorbidities, you know, people who are at risk, things that are going to cost the insurance companies money if you die in a natural way. You know, if they can claim that it's God's will, then gee, that's too bad. You don't get the money.
Yeah, they'd rather kill you off quickly.
Yeah, well, but you know, it's the way things have been set up, and this has been coming on for a long time. First of all, there was a project called PREDICT, and that was being run by USAID. You know who USAID is?
I heard of it.
It's an arm of the CIA.
Oh.
And they built the virology lab in Wuhan with our money. And they also built virology labs in a lot of other hotspots in the world.
Oh, wow.
They were looking for the most pandemic-worthy organisms. This was back in the 2010 era.
Yeah.
And then there was another project called Gain of Function. Gain of Function was being run by NIH, National Institute of Health. And one of their partners in that project was the DOD, Department of Defense. And you can look all this stuff up. I mean, it's readily available. And, you know, Gain of Function was very big because they had found the coronaviruses and Ebola and Marburg and a whole bunch of other fun little critters to play with. And they brought them home and turned them over to Gain of Function. And the work was being done in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, and at the university. And there were other universities. UC Davis is one of the universities that was being involved with Gain of Function. And they stopped the funding on it back in like 2014. And basically sat on it. And where do you store these things? Well, you store them at Fort Detrick. Fort Detrick is the home of USAMRID. That's the infectious disease arm of the Army. And in early 2019, there was an outbreak in a nursing home, actually a couple of nursing homes.
Oh yeah, it's been a big deal over where I live too.
In the Fort Detrick area, where they had leaks.
Yeah.
But it's also, they had the people who know how to contain such a thing. So, you know, it was like a test run.
Oh, wow.
And they killed a bunch of people in a nursing home, in a couple of nursing homes, actually. And it's really funny how nursing homes have worked out so well with these pandemics, because when there was a nursing home in Zimbabwe, you know, Africa.
Yeah.
And they had an outbreak of scabies. Scabies is a parasitic infection that it's a skin infection that passes very easily from person to person.
Yeah.
And so everybody in this nursing home was given ivermectin.
All right.
To treat the scabies. And there were other nursing homes around them that didn't have the infection. And most of them got wiped out by Corona. Nobody died in the one nursing home that was using ivermectin.
Wow.
Nobody. you know, and this is why they don't want you to know about it.
Yeah, because they tend to give it a bad rap, or they tend to say, oh, it's that stuff that horses use or something.
Their EUA is illegal. What they're doing is outside the law. They are supposed to abandon that as the only way of, you know, the vaccine as the only way of treating this malady. And there was actually a virologist in 2019 who said that we could cure this pandemic in, well, actually it was 2020. We could cure the pandemic in 6 weeks if we used ivermectin.
Oh, wow.
6 weeks. That was a year and a half, almost 2 years ago.
Oh, man.
And but this is it. What do they do? They badmouth it. They use the media to belittle it. And it works like a champ.
Yeah, it does. You know?
So what are we doing? Why are we listening to people that are trying to kill us?
Yeah, I guess maybe they don't see any money to be made off of it.
So important that we use their vaccine. Why is that? When there are other means that can save lives.
Yeah, a lot may have to do with the amount of stock a lot of people in Congress own in Pfizer and those other companies.
But I'll tell you, a lot of people in Congress have not gotten the jab.
Oh, wow.
A lot of people, none of Bill Gates's kids have gotten the jab. They won't.
Oh, wow.
There are two types of immunity. Serum, and then there's, you know, the using the memory cells, the B cells, in order to retain how we dealt with this before.
Yeah.
Well, the vaccines are not vaccines. They are not vaccines. They're treatments.
Yeah, because they don't keep you from getting it or spreading it.
No,
you
know, I mean, not at all.
They could be helpful. Like, I believe they could keep you out of the hospital. I mean,
but they're not even doing that now.
Not to everybody, no. I mean, if there are certain people who already have other conditions going on, nothing's going
to
save them.
There's more to it.
Ooh, okay.
What are they teaching you? They are teaching your body to make a toxic protein, one toxic protein, which does not exist anymore in nature. Okay. Now, what they're doing, they're fine-tuning you to that one protein. And what they're finding is that Omicron has so many mutations in the spike protein that immunity that you've developed so finely doesn't recognize it. And that's why Omicron is attacking the vaccinated. Their immune systems have been coerced into doing something that is very unnatural. It's serum immunity, which is short-lived. And they've estimated that the boosters are only good for 3 months. And after that, it declines really fast. Yeah. So they're saying, get a booster every 5 months. That means 2 months, you are at risk.
Wow. And why aren't they saying get it every 3 months? Like, if they're hell-bent on trying to push this thing.
It's like that, the thing I saw on Facebook, you know, with the guy saying, if you gave me polio vaccine 3 times in a year and I still get polio, why am I taking the shots? And this is it. I mean, it is very much a eugenics agenda that they're pushing.
Wow. Now, as far as, go on.
That's terrible. I mean,
it is.
And the thing is that they've destroyed our economy doing it. Other countries have had lockdowns, but they pay their people to stay home. How was that that $2,000 stimulus check you got from the Democrats? Oh, that wasn't.
$2,000. Oh, you mean it's more like a $1,400 one.
Yeah. I know.
Because they said like, and they wonder why they're most likely going to lose this year. I mean, it was just like, I knew that moment because they were campaigning on it. Like, hey, you want that $2,000 check in the mail? Vote for us. And then it ends up, even with all of them in power, you know, the House, the Senate, the White House, they own it all.
And it ended up being
$1,400. And then their excuse was, oh, well, you got $600 back in like, a month or two ago. So if you add that, then that's $2,000. It's like, oh,
And how long did that last you?
Not too long. I mean, I wouldn't turn it down. And yeah, it's better than nothing.
It's not going to keep
people from in the long
other
term.
Countries actually paid for their people to stay at home.
Yeah.
We didn't.
No.
You know,
it was just enough to say, we're doing something for you.
We have corporate socialism, and rugged individualism for everybody else.
Exactly.
And this is what I'm trying to change when going to Congress.
Good. And I wish you the best of luck with that. And have you ran for Congress in 2020, correct?
I ran in 2018 and 2020 and now in 2022.
Wow. And do you find it difficult to get on the ballot where you are, or is it easy?
It's challenging. The first threshold is getting 40 signatures to get onto the ballot.
Oh, okay.
There's what they call signatures in lieu of, and that's in lieu of the actual filing fee. It's still going to cost me. In this situation with the pandemic, nobody wants to sign anything. They want to stay anonymous, and I don't blame them, frankly. They're scared to death. And basically, this is what has been done to us, is that we've been scared into doing nothing. And, people are waiting for somebody else to make a decision and, be the change that you want.
Yeah. And I understand, you've been running in the Green Party. So I know in your platform, you have what, anyone typically in that party would have, the single payer healthcare system and education, kindergarten, all the way up through college vocational school. Good to mention that too.
And what's so crazy about it is that single payer healthcare is cheaper.
It is.
It's way cheaper than what we're doing.
And you cut out a middleman big time.
And the difference between capitalist medicine and socialized medicine is that we want the patient to keep coming back. Socialist medicine says, get the person well. Now, if you walk through your pharmacy, you will see on the left and the right, cold symptom remedies. No cures, just cold symptom remedies. They want you to feel well enough to get out and spread it. That's more customers for them.
Exactly.
Okay. And, what's come out of this, it's so unexpected. First of all, Omicron is the dream solution for most people, because it's very infective, but it has very little in the way of symptoms. I think I had it one evening. I had a croupy cough, a headache, had a sore throat and was developing bronchitis.
All right.
And I took 30 milligram of ivermectin and went back to sleep, and I woke up and didn't have any of it.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, I don't know if I know anyone who took the ivermectin. Because of the Omicron, I know basically around Christmas, like where I live, it just,
right.
like the New York City area, it just spread like wildfire.
Everybody got it. 3 to 5 days, you're going to be over it.
Yeah. I mean, some people, it was nothing. They tested positive for it, didn't feel anything. Right. Some people, it was like a common cold. But there were some people where, they did get all the symptoms. And they did have to, and they were sick and in pain for like a week or 2 weeks. You know, it did affect some people. Right. But
and most of the people that it affected were the vaccinated.
All right. I mean, some vaccinated, some not vaccinated, some partially vaccinated.
Because their immune systems have been compromised.
All right.
You know, and vitamin D, vitamin C, zinc. And if you're going to supplement with zinc, you really should do copper also, because they're cofactors in an enzyme system.
All right.
You know, and there are other drugs. The FLCCC, the Frontline COVID Caregivers Consortium, is a great source of information. Dr. Pierre Corey, gave a presentation in front of Congress back in like January of 2020. And he was spouting how ivermectin actually works. And they shut him up. They actually took his presentation off the internet.
Wow.
Yeah, because they don't want you to know about it.
Yeah, they don't want to know about multiple options.
Right.
Wow. Now, speaking of options, one thing that stood out to me a lot when I see your plan of action for a better society, whatever your platform here, I see a lot of electoral things. I see improve voting democracy, stop undemocratic primaries, give voters more choice, make every vote count. And I'd like you to dive into that more.
Ranked choice voting is great at getting rid of the spoiler effect, and that's why we have the primaries, and the primaries are one of the most undemocratic ways of actually doing the sampling of the voter population, because if you didn't happen to choose the right candidate, your vote is dropped on the floor, gone. Ranked choice voting, no primaries. You've already paid for it right now, for the general election, just in the primaries. Get rid of that. You have a ballot with all of the candidates for each position on the general ballot, and you choose your first, second, third, and fourth choice. If your first choice doesn't win, your vote goes to your second choice.
Exactly.
It's almost like democracy.
Yeah, exactly. No, I did a whole episode on ranked choice voting.
Good, good. And the little twist that I have in it is that the with your ballot comes a QR code, which is a unique code for you. Allows you to see your ballot after it's been captured.
Now, is this like a California thing you're telling me about?
Well, it could be, but one of the things that I started in 2002 was a not-for-profit called World Vista, where we're taking the VA's integrated hospital system and putting it out into open source.
Okay.
And Oroville Hospital up here is running our software, and they're making money off of it. And, the thing is that 40 years ago, this system was built by the VA, the Veterans Administration.
Yeah.
And they built it in-house because they knew how they wanted to do healthcare. And they did. And they developed programmers in every hospital that could sit down with the doctors and the people at the point of care and piece together what the application needed to look like and how the data would be arranged. And it was a very fast process. You could do in a week what a third party vendor would take 18 to 24 months to do.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Well, because you've got the programmer right there listening to you and translating what you're saying and your needs into actual code. And then, you know, putting it together and letting you see what it looks like and letting the people on the floor play with it and use it. And it gets better and better every time it goes through an evaluation of the users. And the users see themselves in the application. So your retention of employees increases dramatically. People have a real attachment to the application. This is why this system has been running the VA hospitals, 160 of them, for 40 years.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's free. You paid for it. It is free to download. It'll run on a laptop.
It's pretty amazing.
Yes. Yes, and it's all written in a little programming language called MUPS.
All right.
And this was so far ahead of its time. The language is over 60 years old now. Well, it's almost 60 years old. Next year it'll be over 60 years old.
Oh, okay.
And it's amazing in that there's no pre-allocation, everything is runtime assignment, and it is intuitively collating. It sorts things for you automatically. And I'm hoping my wife will pick that up, and she did. Great. Okay. You know, this is the thing. I was involved with the ANSI standards group for the programming language. And most of the successful hospital systems that are out there, and oddly enough, also banking, uses MUPS. Well, you know, and a lot of containerized freight and railroads and the like use MUPS also. You probably never even heard of it, but you know, it's a neat little language. It's very simple to pick up.
Is this something you'd advocate, like if you were to make it to Congress, is this something you would advocate to be used across the board for all government agencies?
Well, there's no reason why it couldn't. It had been running the VA for 40 years, and it was adopted for the Department of Defense and their 200 hospitals around the world back in 85. And I was on that project.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, helped them evaluate how the systems were being used at the different facilities. And you know, I was building the systems so that they could report back to me on a daily basis who had been doing what kind of usage of the resources, and it was easy to take a look at the resource utilization and realize that, oh, there's something going wrong at a particular site. I'd log in the next day to that site and fix the problem, and they'd never see anybody, you know.
Wow.
But I was, supporting systems from Launchstuhl to Osan in Japan and Korea, and it was quite an exciting time.
Sounds like it, and sounds like you have a lot of insight on what works and what doesn't work when it comes to
right
government agencies running efficiently and effectively.
But this is the thing, is that, you know, having the programmers in the hospital actually ended up saving money an awful lot. Because, this is a pretty large application. It's 180 different aspects of the hospital all in one package and sharing the same databases.
Wow.
Yeah, but it's very role-oriented, so that a nurse can't get in there and start prescribing meds unless she has the med key.
Oh, okay.
You know, so there's little checks and balances in there, so that, if you don't have permission to do something, you can't do it.
Oh, okay.
And if you do have, then God bless.
Get it done. Definitely.
You know, there are also situations like drug-drug interactions where, drug-food interactions where, if you're taking certain drugs, you can't have certain foods and things like that. Right. And it's potential risk to a patient. So we've got to watch out for those things. And it was quite remarkable. We had system called BCMA, Barcode Medication Administration, where there was a laptop on the med cart of each nurse as she rolled it through the ward.
All right.
And she'd roll it up to a patient's bedside, scan the barcode on his wrist, and it would bring up what meds he was due at that time.
Oh, okay.
And she could prepare it right there, unit dose, hand it to him, watch him take the pills, and then mark them as delivered. And, it was a great little system, but the vendors who were implementing it were cutting corners everywhere they could. And, and we caught them at it at a couple of places, and we were not pleased.
Oh no.
You can imagine. But we got this system up and running, and we were really way ahead of a lot of the other commercial systems, and the commercial systems were trying to hurry up and get back in position, just to compete with us.
Oh wow.
And we weren't selling it, and that's the thing. And we've made the system available to foreign countries, and Jordan is using it for their population's healthcare, and India is using it in 19 hospitals in India. It was in Pakistan, but the problem is that you really have to have locals who take an interest in it.
Yeah, like programmers on site. Yeah.
Well, and fine, train your own people. You know, it's not that tough a language to learn. No. And the thing was is that they ended up teaching only the contractors how to run the system. And when the last contractor cycled out, take another job, the system failed because there was nobody there to put it back together.
Oh, wow.
You know, and but that's how it fails. It's a lack of control and concern. Wow. And you know, I mean, you most of the hospital systems that are out there, you're talking a couple of $1 million a year to keep it running. And for that, you can hire a bunch of programmers.
Oh, sure.
And they can keep the machines running really well. And
wow.
You know, it's for instance, in during Katrina, I was working at the Office of Information in Oakland, and Katrina, of course, hit New Orleans.
Yeah.
And the VA facility there was in a low area of the city. Almost all of New Orleans is below sea level.
Oh, yeah. I know. Yeah. Most recent Green Party candidate I interviewed was running for city council in New Orleans.
Right.
This past election.
Yeah. Well,
so climate change is a very hot topic when you live somewhere that's like sure. deeply affected by it. Well, and you're in California, you have those forest fires going on and everything. So, and then sure. you're along the coast. So,
well,
it's a big deal
and
where you are too.
Basically, we're living in a desert. You know, we're pretty much high desert. I was out at China Lake for 3 years, and that looks really good in a rearview mirror too.
Yeah.
I was running a mump shop out there at the naval base. It paid all the vendor bills on the base.
Wow.
Yeah. And you know, I used it to reverse engineer a weapon system for the Navy.
Oh, wow.
And very flexible language, very easy to write in and very easy
wow.
to support.
Now, this is very interesting stuff I'm hearing here because, yeah, not often do you see people running for Congress who actually knows how, it's easy to say, yeah, we need to do this, we need to do that, we need to cut mm-hmm. on this and that. But, mm-hmm. you know, just like really seeing how the sausage is made, really seeing the nitty gritty of it and even just the technology that keeps things going and,
uh-huh.
whether to make things efficient or effective and what works and what doesn't. I mean, it's good to have somebody in there who has good insight on that and knows, you know, what to approve, what not to approve as far as what kind of contractors or vendors to use rather than doing it based on, all right, well, who's donating money to my campaign, you know, rather do it based on, you know, best bang for buck and what actually really works and isn't going to be inefficient or costly later down the road. Mm-hmm. So I think this is a, you know, regardless of what people in your district, you know, agree with you or disagree with you on regarding like all these other, you know, hot button issues. I mean, this is something that they should really be mindful of and be like, hey, you know, we, you know, if we want things like, if nothing else, to run effectively and efficiently and not be a complete waste of resources and money down the road, you know, here's somebody who's been there, done that.
Right.
That's what I think everyone.
Let me give you another example. For instance, when I was working for Nova University down in Lauderdale, I was working for the oceanography department, and we were in the data buoy office, and the software that we had built, actually, it was built before I got there. Was taking 10 days to 2 weeks to do each device we had committed at sea and recovered. And, you know, all the data that came off of the equipment had to be reduced so that it could be used to analyze current flow, you know, in different parts of the world. Well, like I say, each of these devices would generate a bit bucket. It was a cassette tape, and we would decode it and then look through the record and try and figure out what is correct and what parts of the record are usable, what parts are not usable. And we had a routine that would run through that data and show you where changes had to be made. And I said, well, if I know what changes have to be made, why can't I just make them at the same time that I discover them? What a concept, yeah. You know? And we had been running on a big UNIVAC machine that was costing them an awful lot of money to run. And we had a Data General Nova 3, which was a little microcomputer in our lab that ran Fortran. And I had rewritten the package so that it was a lot more general and that we could actually read the raw data in, evaluate it, and put it into a publishable form for the next universities that would get the data. And record also information about where it came from and what sensors it had on it and, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
I was doing three devices a night that used to take 10 days to 2 weeks to do each device.
All right.
So I was doing a month and a half's worth of work a night.
Oh, that is nuts.
You know, because I had automated it. And you know, one of the things that they had to do was to calculate parity. Parity is a way of checking to make sure that what you captured is correct, or at least it's consistent with the sums that you calculate for the longitudinal and the frame checksums. And well, they did that by testing each bit on the UNIVAC. I was doing it by running it through a little Fortran filter that would do an exclusive OR.
Okay.
on the whole word rather than on each bit, you know, and it sped it up so much faster.
Well, there and, you go.
You know, so it was a much easier way to provide a functional solution than what we had. And it was cost effective too, you know, and it would take about 2 to 3 hours to run each device. And, I'd go down to the dock and fish off the dock while the thing was running, or go into the electronics lab and play some pool, you know, and just...
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was really tough, tough working conditions. But I was working nights there and going to school during the day. So it was keeping me off the streets and out of the pool halls.
Okay. And as we're running out of time here, is there anything that you'd like to plug? Anything that you think the constituency should know on why to choose you rather than your opponents? In any way that anyone could help your campaign?
Well, vote for me. You know, the thing is that I'm going to be representing you. Is if I get elected, I will be representing all of you, regardless of whether you voted for me or not. And I'm going to do the best I can to make sure that we're prepared for the future. And, you know, we're going to get out of this stupid pandemic. it's coming to an end. There are already a bunch of countries that are already out from under it. India, Mexico, Japan, El Salvador, and a bunch of others. And how did they do it? They recognized that most of the transmission was being done in the home. So when somebody presents themselves to a hospital with the symptoms of COVID, they're sent home with enough ivermectin and vitamins and support nutrients to treat his whole family. And then they all have natural immunity, which is about 20 times stronger than what the vaccines promise you. And if, you know, unfortunately, the vaccines are not additive. They do not increase your immunity to this pathogen or other pathogens. And this is the downside of the vaccines. It is training you to fight one pathogen,
as opposed to the many others that are out there.
There are a lot of others that can kill you.
Wow.
And, you know, your body over your lifetime produces cancerous cells all the time.
Oh, sure.
And your immune system is smart enough to recognize, you are not me. Bang, you're dead.
Nice.
But if your immune system is too compromised, you won't do that. You'll miss them.
Yeah.
And they'll proliferate.
Oh, wow.
Are you any better off? No, not really.
All right. Well, yeah, thanks again for being on the show and sharing your knowledge and experience, you know, having done all this different contract work with government agencies and all that, with all the technology and software, and also everything that you're noticing and finding out regarding the pandemic and, you know, what, you know, people should be aware of, or at least, you know, well, when it comes to weighing out options and decisions and whatnot.
And unfortunately, there is another project that is, you know, we had PREDICT, then we had Gain of Function. Then the Department of Defense started their own called DEFUSE.
Hmm.
And DEFUSE, they stopped the funding of it, but biowarfare is the poor man's nuclear weapon. It doesn't take much money in order to keep a project like that rolling.
Wow.
And as sloppy as the DOD budget has been, there's no reason they couldn't fund it themselves.
Wow.
Yeah. Right. And the pathogen that they're going to come up with won't have a spike.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
All right.
That's the other shoe, unfortunately. I think that they're going to drop, but I hope I'm wrong. I really hope I'm wrong.
Wow. No, I hope so too.
Yeah.
And is there a website anyone could go to learn more about your campaign?
Yes, RCR for Congress.us.
All right, excellent. Well, there you have it. And thank you again for being on the show.
Well, thank you so much for having me. And you want to do another follow-up? We'll do it whenever you're ready.
All right, sounds good. Well, there you have it. Again, Chris Richardson, running for California's 6th Congressional District, no longer the 7th, 6th Congressional District. You could learn more about his platform at RCR 4congress.us. That is RCR, the number 4congress.us. It's a really good website. It's put together really well, has all kinds of details, the whole platform, great ideas, even a few good links on there as well. So definitely check it out. And you could also find out how you could help the campaign as well. So thank you again for listening to this episode. Also, check out other episodes of Get Yours Today on Anchor, Spotify, Apple, Google Podcasts, a few other platforms as well. You could also find Get Yours Today on Facebook. Feel free to like and follow the page and be up to date on new episodes that keep coming out. It's an election season, the midterm, so there's going to be more episodes with more quality candidates. And when it's not an election season, there's episodes about different causes and ideas. You'll find in the past year or two, there's been an episode about ranked choice voting. There's been one about open primaries. There's been one about participatory budgeting, where you get to decide how your tax money is being spent. That's an interesting episode and movement that's taking place. And even down ballot initiatives or public questions that you see on ballots, that's where the real winning occurs. All kinds of ideas that are good ideas make it on a ballot, and most of the time they win. So definitely check that out. In the meantime, stay healthy, stay safe, and peace out.